If you have your Bibles, turn with me, first of all, to Romans chapter 4. And if you do not have a Bible with you, then you might have your cell phone, and so you can get it from your cell phone, or there should be a Bible beneath your chair that you could use. We're going to look at a couple of topics today, about which neither one would be true if it weren't for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me put that another way. There are some biblical truths that would not be true if the resurrection of Christ was a hoax. And the last few weeks, you should know by now, when we have, over these last three or four Sundays, have considered the evidence for the resurrection, you should know that the resurrection of Christ was by no means a hoax. That it took place. And that in itself is and was a miracle. And I mentioned a few weeks ago that you have to believe in miracles in order to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand that the resurrection of Christ was an absolute miracle. A person, Jesus Christ, who was fully man and fully God, as a man, fully man, he died. He was buried and arose again the third day. Now, do not make the mistake of thinking that God died. God did not die. I have mentioned to you before, let me mention it again, there used to be a bumper sticker out there in response to Nietzsche. Nietzsche was an atheist, and he's the one who promoted the idea that God died. And there used to be a bumper sticker that you would see on a car occasionally that said, "Nietzsche died. God." Signed God. Haven't seen that one for a while, but that one used to be around. "Nietzsche died. Signed God." So what I want to do this morning, I want to share with you two biblical facts and truths that should help you live the Christian life perhaps better than what we are living now. Those two truths have to do with regeneration, which is another way of saying born again, or another way of saying born from above, or another way of simply saying saved. And of course, a person who places their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation has been regenerated. That's one way to put it. Or he or she has been saved. That's another way to put it. Or he or she has been born again. A third way to put it. And of course, perhaps the last way is that person has been a person who has been born from above. Now, I want you to understand that salvation is of God and God alone. Scripture says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, in the two passages of Scripture that we're going to read in just a moment, the first one has to do with justification, and the second one has to do with regeneration, being born again and also being justified. You cannot be born again without being justified, and you can't be justified without being born again. I tend to believe, and I think it's accurate, that if you, as a child of God, if you are genuinely His child, then if you have the better understanding you have of Christian doctrine, the more likely it is you're going to be victorious in the Christian life, and you're going to understand perhaps how to deal with some of the issues that we face as Christians. For example, some of us sometimes we doubt our salvation. You ever been there, done that, so to speak, doubting your salvation? Some people have, not necessarily all people, all Christians, but some people have, some Christians have. In fact, over the years, I've had, I don't know how many people in my office wanting to talk with me about their salvation. They say something like, I just don't feel saved. And so, friends, understand that the assurance of salvation is not a matter of how you feel. It is a matter of fact. If your faith is in Christ alone, a genuine faith in Christ, you are born again. So the first passage of Scripture is found in Romans 4. The specific verse is verse 25. But I want to read on into chapter 5, the first five verses, which represent the first paragraph of chapter 5. And it reads like this, beginning in verse 25 of chapter 4. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions, you know as well as I do that the he in that particular text is a reference to Jesus Christ. Jesus, who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Right there, you have one of the blessings of being born again or being justified before God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. Not easy to do, is it? Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, folks, let me pause there and say this. Do you understand that when you were born again, whenever that was, when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, the Holy Spirit came into your life to indwell you. There's no such thing as a child of God who is not indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And so if you are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian, regardless of how much you may call yourself so. Now, friends, understand that if you're genuinely born again, you have indwelling you the third person of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Understand that the Holy Spirit indwells each and ever all genuine believers. And that's what he says here. He says, proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, I want you to fast forward to 1 Peter, and 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3 and reading through verse 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. There's that phrase, born again, to a living hope through the resurrection. There you have it again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So we have something to look forward to, don't we? Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now let me pause there again and say this. If you're born again, you have been saved. You've been redeemed. But our body at the moment has yet to be redeemed. That's why we age. That's also why we ache. And that's also why we still tend to get sick at times. That's why, from a physical perspective, we are still weak but yet born again, because of our faith in Christ. So he says in verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Been there, done that. So have you. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. My friends, in both of those passages of Scripture were mentioned two things that are true of every Christian, every person who has been born again. One, it doesn't use the word regeneration, but 1 Peter 1, the verses we read beginning in verse 3 through verse 9, speaks of the fact that we have, if your faith is in Christ alone, you have been born again, born from above. You have been regenerated, or you have experienced regeneration. Understand that. That's something that you have experienced, and that doesn't mean necessarily that you've had an emotional upheaval of some kind or anything of that nature, but it does mean that you have experienced what the Scriptures call, or what the Bible refers to, regeneration. You have experienced that. And then the other passage of Scripture that we read, found in Romans chapter 4, has to do with the idea that if you are born again, you have been justified. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that you have been declared righteous. You understand? It is a legal term. You have been declared righteous. Now, let me hurry to say, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are righteous. It's just a term. I won't say just a term. It's very significant. If you understand this, that if you've been born again, you have been declared by God the Father righteous. And you'll understand a little more about that as we look at the message. There are two major points this morning I want you to understand. The first one is this, and they both have to do with the resurrection of Christ. Let me say it again. If the resurrection of Christ was a hoax, what I'm about to tell you would not be true. So understand this. The resurrection of Christ ensures, perhaps the key word there is ensures. The resurrection of Christ ensures each believer a new kind of life now, and a completely different kind of life then. My friends, you have something to look forward to if you've been born again. That's completely, it's indescribable. As Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, just as it is written, things which I have not seen it, and which ears not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. You, as a child of God, have something to look forward to that defies description in this life. When Jesus arose from the grave, he arose from the grave with a new life, a new kind of life. And since we have been raised with him, we, you might say, have inherited the rights to the kind of life that Jesus arose to. My friends, I understand. I want you to understand that if you are born again, you have a new kind of life now, But let me put it this way. Even a better kind of life then, when Christ comes again, or should you step out of this life into the next, into the presence of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I say that because of what verse 3 says in 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see then that there is a relationship between our life now and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which took place over 2,000 years ago. Two things. The new life that is ours in Christ now does not change us physically. We are still subject to weakness, aren't we? We're still subject to aging. Yes, we are. Our hair turns gray for us men. And then, secondly, it turns loose. Now, friends, that's what happens. Are we born again? Yes, yes, we've been born again if our faith is in Christ alone for salvation. We've been born again. But it did not change us physically, but it does ensure us of a change spiritually. And that's what I want you to understand. I have said this before. No one, absolutely no one, can be genuinely born again without being changed. You got it? You can't go on being the person you were prior to Jesus Christ, being born again. If you're genuinely born again, God begins to work in you, and he begins to, well, if you want the doctrinal term, he begins to sanctify you and set you apart from the things in your life that are contrary to the image of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you understand that one of the goals for God in your life is for you to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that you act, you talk, you behave better and better. I'll put it each year, give you some time there. Each year, you're a better Christian next year than you are today. You were today. That's the sanctification that takes place. That's what God changes us spiritually. And we begin to behave more and more like Christ. That does not mean necessarily that we will never slip, stumble, or fall. We will. Unfortunately, we will. But let me hurry and say this. I think if you've been genuinely born again, that eventually you will come back to Christ. If you stray, so to speak, from the straight and narrow, if you're genuinely born again, sooner or later, you will come back to him. And I base that also on Scripture. It's Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart, listen carefully, the backslider in heart will have his fill of his way. You understand? You'll get fed up, and you'll come back to Christ. But a good man, it says, will be satisfied with his. So friends, listen carefully. Although when we were born again, it didn't change the way we look, but it sure changes our heart and the way gradually we begin to behave more and more like him. I want to share with you a story that is true. It's not about me. It's about a gentleman that I read about several years ago in a book entitled, I'm Going to Bury You. Perhaps you are familiar with the book. Great book. I read it several years ago. It's the story about a high-dollar, high-profile, highly successful defense lawyer. His name is Gene Neal, Gene Neal defended, for the most part, most of the time, the people he were defending were people from the mafia. People who were, you know, crosswise with the law in a big fashion. And he defended them, and he was very successful. In fact, so successful that when they got in trouble with the law, Gene Neal was the first person they called. And he defended them very successfully. When it got to the point where Gene Neal was being paid by drugs. In other words, his clients would give him some drugs, not for himself, but he would simply take the drugs. And from what I understand, if I remember the story correctly, he would take the drugs and he would sell them and get probably more money from them than what he could get from the fees that he was charging those whom he defended. Well, I believe the FBI got involved in that. And they began investigating Gene Neal. And Gene Neal eventually himself was arrested and was about to be tried for drug possession and sales and all of that sort of stuff. The internet comment that I read and yesterday reads like this. Gene Neal has lived more than one life. Aspiring law student, successful criminal lawyer, rich and influential. That was Gene Neal. He got caught in a high crime dragnet. And this is what it said. It says, he said, they threw the book and more at him. Amen. You ought to read the book. Amen. I'm going to bury you. Listen carefully. There was a prosecuting attorney speaking to Gene Neal. He jabbed his finger into his chest, screaming at him. Can you imagine that? You're standing there and there's a prosecuting attorney poking you in the chest. Screaming at him. And folks, these are not my words. These are the testimony of the people or the person who went through this, Gene Neal. He said, the prosecuting attorney said, you big fat pig. He said, I'm gonna bury you. I'm going to get you 15 years on each of these accounts. I'm going to bury you. You're never coming home, you big fat pig. Can you imagine that? He says, they took my clothes, searched me. It was a very humiliating and degrading experience. When I got through bathing, in other words, he'd been tried and convicted, and he was sentenced to solitary confinement for 50 years. When I got through bathing, they put a uniform on me, just a pair of pants and a shirt. The pants were size 54. I had to hold them up with one hand. The guards all laughed at me. They thought that was so amusing. But listen carefully. He said, but I was crying. I was crying. Now listen carefully. In solitary confinement, in that cell, he dropped to his knees and accepted Christ and ultimately became an ordained minister. Although he received a 50-year sentence, listen carefully, 50-year sentence. He was out in 2 years. He says that when he knelt on his knees in the cell, he said that he heard the voice of God saying, "Gene, where have you been? I've been waiting for you for years." And on that day, Gene Neal became a child of God and was changed physically? No. No. He was changed spiritually. He became a child of God. And as the story goes, he became, let me see, where is it? I have it in my notes here somewhere. He became one of the best well-known prison ministries. Here it is. As Christ promised, he delivered Gene from his troubles and gave him a new life. As an ordained minister and widely traveled speaker, Gene conducted the most extensive prison ministry in the world. My friends, do you understand what I'm saying to you? I am saying to you that if you've been born again, you may look just the same as you did prior to Christ, physically. But if you've had a genuine, born again, born from above, regeneration, you have been changed spiritually. You're a different person. And you'll respond to that change in a multitude of ways. You won't think the way you used to think. You won't behave the way you used to behave. Because God changes your life. And if that change is not there, you have reason to examine yourself to see whether or not you are genuinely born again. Two verses, Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't understand all that, but according to the scriptures, from a biblical perspective, you and I have been seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, born again, in other words, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And what this writer is saying, this, listen carefully, that if there's been a genuine born again experience in your life, there's a connection between, this is a reality or can be a reality in your life. There's a connection between the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave and your new birth. Connection there. Second thing I want you to understand about regeneration here. The new life now that is ours due to his resurrection and our believing in him as our Savior has practical implications in this life for living the Christian life victoriously. The theological terminology there is sanctification. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, Romans 6, 4 and Romans 6, 11. I'm just going to repeat one of those. Romans 6, 14. Do you know what the promise is in Romans 6, 14? For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. You ought maybe, out at the side of that particular note, perhaps you ought to write the word hope, H-O-P-E. capitalize it, underline it, overline it, because it says this, that if you understand that particular scripture, you understand that even though you haven't been changed physically, you've been changed internally, and now you have the same power that resurrected Christ from the grave. That same power abides in you, and you have the power to overcome any type of sin in your life that may be considered a besetting sin, whatever it may be. Perhaps it's drugs. Perhaps it's alcohol. Perhaps it's anger. Perhaps it's resentment. Perhaps it's bitterness. Whatever it may be, Scripture is saying there's no excuse for you to remain in that condition, because the power of Christ that raised the power of God that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that resides in you. And that's God. And He enables us to overcome those besetting sins in His life. Let me continue the story with Gene Neal, if I remember correctly, and I may have the order of it mixed up just a little. But when he was arrested, I think he was out on bail for a while. And while he was out on bail, he knew pretty much more than likely he was going to be convicted and sent to prison. Well, he had a friend that he could always depend on. And I'm not sure where the friend lived. I want to say Texas, but I'm not sure. At any rate, while he was out on bail, he was going to skip the country. That was his intention. This is before he was born again. And so he went to his friend and told his friend what he would like to do. And his friend said to him, "Gene, I can't help you with that. I can't help you with that. Because I have changed." His friend, apparently, had become a child of God himself and said he could no longer do the things that he himself had done in the past. And so he said to his good friend, Gene Neal, "I can't help you with that." And so Gene ended up attending his trial and ended up being sentenced to 50 years in solitary confinement. You see, that's what happens when you're genuinely born again. You can't remain as you are or were. What's the old saying? I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. You understand that? You see, you cannot meet Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and remain as you are in terms of behavior, values, attitude, etc., 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 that are contrary to the image of Jesus Christ in your life. If you're a Christian, God wants you to act and behave like it. Now, friends, that's regeneration. And what I'm saying to you is this: the resurrection of Jesus Christ ensures you that you can be regenerated. You can be born again. You can be saved. Secondly, listen carefully. The resurrection of Christ ensures each believer that he or she has been declared righteous in the eyes of God. Did you hear me? Do you know what justification means? It means you have been declared righteous. By whom? By God. By God the Father. Somebody else might look at you and say, "Oh, you're not so righteous." Unfortunately, in some cases, that's true in our behavior, attitudes, etc. But my friends, in response to your faith in Jesus Christ, what happens? God responds to that in your life, and He declares you righteous. You understand? And then He begins to work in you, sanctifying you, setting you apart from the sins that are contrary to the Christian life. Declared righteous. Romans 4:25, He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So you have the resurrection related to the justification. Can I share something with you written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon? Do you know who Charles Haddon Spurgeon was? Pastor of Metropolitan Tabernacle in London for several years. People would be lined up on the sidewalk to get in to hear him speak. He said, I can sympathize with Luther when he said, I have preached justification by faith so often, and I feel sometimes that you are so slow to receive it. He's talking to his congregation, Charles Spurgeon, to a congregation of probably, 2,000-3,000 people, maybe as many as 5,000 people. He says, I have preached justification by faith so often, and I feel sometimes that you are so slow to receive it that I could almost take the Bible and bang it about your heads. He said, take the pop right on the head, you know. That's what he's saying. Listen carefully and understand this. The resurrection of Christ. This is A in your outline, Roman numeral 2. The resurrection of Christ was God the Father's stamp of approval of Christ's redemptive work, including not only His crucifixion for our sins, but also the redemptive life He lived prior to the cross. Do you understand? Do you understand that God is holy? Let me rephrase that. Do you understand that God is absolutely holy? Therefore, He cannot and will not put up with sin in any way, shape, or form, in any fashion. And so, He had to send someone to take care of that, and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus lived a life of perfection. That means that if you want to go to heaven by works, you have to be perfect. Is there anybody here perfect? No. There isn't. And that's not because I've lived with all of you. I haven't. Or I could point some sins out. And if you lived with me, you could point some out in my life probably as well. You see, Scripture says this, Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's what it says. I don't know when I messed that up, but I tell you what, I can put you in the ballpark. It's when I was very young, probably. You too. You messed it up a long time ago. I know you did. Because you have that sinful nature as a result of Adam's fall. When he sinned, you sinned. I don't quite like that. Why am I being punished for something he did? But he's the federal head of the human race. And when he fell, we fell. And every person who was born after that was born with a sinful nature. And so we sin. And if somebody didn't live the perfect life that needed to be lived, we just as well pack up our things and go home. And if Jesus Christ did not arise from the grave, we just as well pack up and go home, close our doors, put a padlock on the front doors, because there's no use us spending time here, because we're still dead in our trespasses and sins, and they have yet to be paid if Christ had not arose from the grave. God said to Jesus, his son, who lived a perfect life, I approve of your life and your death. And my approval is based in the fact that through your power and my power, you are going to be resurrected from the grave. God's stamp of approval on the life, death, burial of Jesus Christ, and that stamp of approval was his resurrection. I accept it as payment. People think that God is a God of love. He is. But what they don't want to accept is that God is also a God of wrath. And God poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ on the cross to pay for your sins and for mine. You understand? And in doing so, in response to your faith in Jesus Christ, he, God the Father, declared you to be righteous. It's a state of being, not necessarily a state of behavior. Understand that. B, Roman numeral 2. The righteousness credit to our account due to our faith in Christ alone for salvation is not an earned righteousness, but an inherited righteousness. You understand? When God looks at you, he doesn't see any kind of righteousness in your life that deserves the gift of eternal life. Nothing. Your behavior, whatever it may be, ever how much you're working your fingers to the bone to earn God's righteousness, you're never going to make it, because it requires perfection. But when you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you know what happened? Jesus, God the Father, took the righteous life of Jesus the Son, including his death, burial, and resurrection. He took that and he credited it to your account. So that when God the Father looks at you, he sees not your righteousness, which is as a filthy rag, Scripture says, but he sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ alone for salvation. He sees his righteousness, not yours. What does that mean to you? What is the application of that for you? Have you ever felt unworthy? Have the sins of the past ever revisited you? I suspect they have. When you think about your past and you think of how you have behaved in the past that has been contrary to the laws, morals, and ethics of God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. Have they visited you after your conversion to Christ and sort of beat you over the head, making you feel unworthy? Folks, over the years, I don't know how many people I've had in my office who have expressed that very thing, perhaps with different language. And they feel, I just don't know if I'm good enough. I've got news for you. welcome to the club. Nobody's good enough. Except one. And that was Jesus Christ. And God took his life, his perfect life, and the fact that he paid the penalty for your sins, and he credited it to your account. I'm not good enough to enter heaven. Neither are you. And that doesn't give you an excuse to behave as you want to. But if the power of Christ resides in you as a result of your faith in Christ, it gives you the power to live as you should. And so when the sins of the past come visiting, come knocking on your door, simply agree with them. You're right. I'm not good enough, but he is. And his righteousness has been credited to my account. And I'm going to heaven not because of my righteousness, but because of his. Friends, if you understand good, sound theology, especially in regards to the resurrection of Christ, you ought to be able to withstand those assaults by the sins of the past that make you feel less than what you really are in Christ. You have been declared righteous because you have been born again. If your faith is in Jesus Christ alone for salvation.